be responsible.
No.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Warren, take us back to those two great series between the Yankees and yourselves, the Braves and Milwaukee. Can you take us through the teams? I mean, you had a very good team. Crandall caught. Can you sort of take us around and talk about your team and then the Yankee team?
Crandall and Rice were the catchers, two very good catchers. Eddie Matthews at third, Johnny Logan at shortstop.
Eddie Matthews, Hall of Famer.
Right. And
great swing.
A home run swing, would give no quarter, ask for none.
Good fielder, though. Played an accurate
third. He worked like a devil. Yeah. In 52, he couldn't catch a ground ball. Mm-hmm. And he must have taken 1,000 ground balls every day until he could do it. And then we had a hole at second base for a long time. And then Shaney's was available because he had trouble with his lungs. And we got him from the Giants, I believe. And he filled a great spot at second base. And I talked to Johnny Logan not long ago, and he said that he learned more from Shaney's playing with him than he ever did playing with any second baseman in baseball. And, you know, the thing I liked about Red is that I'd be in trouble. Red would come to the mound and he said, make him hit the ball to me. And most times, the infielders don't want any part of a crucial play. And then we had Adcock at first base.
Wonderful hitter.
Great hitter, great guess hitter. And was great on throwing balls. Terrible with ground balls. I saw balls go between his body and his glove that went for base hits because he couldn't field with a dime. You know, I think it was a mental block with him. And throwing balls, holy cow, he's so big. Mm. And he could pick the ball out of the dirt with the best of them. And then in that series, we had Wes Covington in left field, who is a good left-handed hitter. Not too much defensively, you know, we kind of protected Adcock at first base and Covington in left field. So you try to make the hitter hit the ball other places, but boy, could he hit. And when you think of our lineup, you know, we had Bruton, who could run like a deer, leading off, and then we had Shaney's hitting second, and then Matthews, Aaron, Adcock. We had a potent lineup.
Bruton played center and Aaron played right.
Yes.
And so, but look, think of that. They were, when you were pitching, those are four Hall of Famers on the field.
Right.
Because you had Shaney's, you had Aaron,
right.
You had Matthews, and yourself.
That's Billy Bruton got a great jump on the ball, and he had good hands, and he had a good throwing arm. He was all-around good ball player.
And he could run.
And he could run very much. And, yeah, we had all the qualifications, I think, that any good ball player would have.
And then you had yourself, you had Burdette. Was Buell there?
Yes, Buell was a good pitcher, a very good pitcher.
Yeah.
And then we had Gene Connolly, and we had Juan Pizarro, who should have been a great pitcher.
Yeah.
But he had a 10-set head.
He was left-handed, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, I'll tell you what, he had as good a stuff as anybody I've ever seen. But, I don't know, he'd want to throw a change-up at the wrong times, or wouldn't give you his best effort at the right time. So Juan Pizarro should have been a great, great, great pitcher. And we also had, good guy in the bullpen as a short man. His name escapes me.
And
but, you know, that front line ball club we had was as good or better than the Yankees. Of course, the Yankees are always the Yankees. But I think a chemistry in baseball means a lot. And good clubs know how to win. They can beat you 2-1 or they can pound your brains in. And I think that's why Joe Torre gets a lot of credit for what he's done with the Yankees.
But now, on the Yankee team that you faced, Mantle was coming off 56, which was a triple crown, 57, 58.
Right.
talk to us about Mantle. Tell us what kind of a ballplayer he was to pitch to, and what kind of a, how do you rate him against some of the other great players you saw?
Well, first of all, Mickey switch hit, so that that was an advantage. And from home to first, he could run as well as anybody. And I faced him when he was right-handed, and I always felt that Mickey had more power right-handed than he did left-handed. And I remember in one of the games, I think the day that I pitched a two-hitter, Mickey hit a ball that was inside the trademark, between his hands and the trademark, and he hit it against the left center field fence at the scoreboard for a triple. And, he was so strong that he didn't have to hit the ball well, and he hit the ball on the barrel most of the time. And, he had a great, great kid-like atmosphere to enjoy playing the game. And Yogi, they threw the mold away when they made Yogi. I mean,
how could you pitch to him?
Carefully. he could hit the ball over his head. I remember one time when I was with the Mets, Yogi was hitting as a pitch hitter. We were both coaches together then. And somebody threw him a curveball that bounced like 4 feet in front of the plate, and it bounced up, and Yogi hit it for a home run. And when he came into the dugout, I said, "Hey, Yogi, that's illegal." He said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, the ball's dead when it hits the ground." He said, "Not when it's in the strike zone." So this was Yogi's philosophy. And I don't know if Yogi was smart enough. Well, I shouldn't say that. Yogi was smart, baseball. And but he had the mentality to play our game. Don Larson's no-hitter. I asked Don, I said, "Hey, did you pitch that no-hitter because, or no hits and no walks, perfect game in the World Series?" I said, "Did you pitch that because Yogi was catching, or was it just you?" He never did answer me. Right. Then I asked Yogi the same thing. He says, "What's the count?" that baseball mentality that fought me worry. And I think Yogi hit that way too. Yeah. And I had good luck with Yogi. And I finally decided the best way to pitch Yogi is down the middle. Make him make up his mind about how he was going to hit it. You'd pitch him over his head, he hit a line drive somewhere, you'd pitch him a foot off the ground, and he hit that for whatever.
And Whitey Ford was the great left-hander on those teams.
Right.
How do you... give us your scouting report on Whitey.
That's something. Every time I pitched against the Yankees, I was pitching against Whitey. And he was tough. And he moved the ball in and out. And did you ever notice how many times Whitey used to tie his shoelace during the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Burdette taught him how to throw a mud ball.
Yeah.
And he wet the ball and put it on the ground, and it was a little heavier on one side than the other, and he made the ball move because of that.
Did you ever load the ball up and try to throw the spitter?
One time, against the Cubs, Walt Morin. Walt Morin hit me pretty good, and I decided I'd been playing around with it because of Burdette, and I played around with it in the bullpen, so I decided I was going to throw it to Morin. And he hit it for a home run. And when he went around third base, I said, "Hey, Walt, you hit my spitter." He said, "It didn't spit." So that's the last time I ever tried to throw it.
Yeah.
Then I talked to Burdette about it, and he says, "You got to have two wet fingers and a dry thumb." I remember.